Now, somebody who knew John Gabry for 50 years or more was the guy who helped build and create this radio station, Bob Hardy, also known as Uncle Bob Hardy. And Jim Anderson, you got a chance to visit with Uncle Bob earlier this week.
I did, Dave. It was always a lot of fun to go and spend some time with Uncle Bob, and this was a bittersweet experience. The reason that I came over to chat with him and hear stories this time was to learn a little bit about his experience and his time with John. And what surprised me, and I guess I should know this, but Uncle Bob's time with John was predominantly with John serving as an engineer here at KAWC, and they served and worked together for a very long time. And then as I asked him more about, well, what was John like? How would our listeners now, most of them know him from this show now, granted some know him way back, but how would they know him in as a programmer and as an announcer? And he said, well, one of the things that he had an issue with John at one point is he had received 70,000 78 records, old 78s from a previous announcer, and you think that John is all about nostalgia and all about the older records and everything. He says John wouldn't play the records.
Right.
He said he wouldn't play the records because he wanted to go with the new technology, the LPs. and so we wouldn't play them. And he said, you know, he didn't like the cracks and scratches and things. And he said, well, you know, from my perspective, those scratches in those old 78s, those are like wrinkles on a friend. But John wanted the new tech. And he did say that, I asked, well, what did you think about his program? He says, well, I'll tell you one thing. If you ever thought that you could predict what John Gabry was going to do on a show, you were crazy. You couldn't tell what he was going to do because he didn't know what he was going to do.
I've actually got an excerpt from your conversation with Uncle Bob. Talks a little bit more about their long history together.
I came to UM in 1963. And when I came here, John was chief engineer and the night person on KVOY radio. And was there for years and years and years. And eventually, in my acquiring...
You're okay.
Eventually, in my acquiring, changing chief engineers, and that's another long story, I won't get into that, I wound up getting a young man, Dennis Gilliam, who had worked with John. And when he applied put in an application for the job of chief engineer with me, he gave John as one of his references. And I called John, and I'll never forget what John said to me. You know, John was pretty plain spoken.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I never knew him to beat around the bush about anything. And he said, I'll tell you what, he's the only engineer I have ever met that I would leave him while he's wiring my station, I go home for dinner. And I thought, boy, that's a pretty high compliment. And then eventually, when Dennis left us and went to KJAZZ in Phoenix, mm-hmm. as their chief engineer, he recommended John. And, of course, I was that, but John had been down there 26 years.
Yeah.
And, my Lord, there was no way I could touch him. But apparently, Dennis, the one that was his protege, talked to his wife and said, you apply. And, of course, John came with us. So,
nice.
As far as John Gabry and music is concerned, I've been in the music business in one form or another for 75 years, believe it or not. And of all of the time, all the years I've ever been to, I've never met anybody that was more knowledgeable about not just country western music, but all kinds of music. All the way from vaudeville to the old time, back in the days when they put out 78 records where they only printed put a song on one side. I mean, and the records were thick enough that it seemed like they had about a quarter of an inch thick, the records themselves. Mm-hmm. But John was the most knowledgeable person about all kinds of music. And he didn't do it from a book. He did it from his memory. I'm sure he read a lot,
sure.
But he retained it. And when he did the program for an old program with me on KWC, he never had any notes.
No.
It was off the top of his head all the way.
What was it like working with him?
Oh, very good. Only had one problem with John, and I've said this to his face, so I'm not talking behind his back or after he's gone.
Yep.
John, when he worked at KVOY, was chief engineer, and the manager of his manner of working with managing the station at KVOY, he left everything to John engineering-wise. He never, ever suggested that. He never got involved at all. Mm-hmm. Well, I started with a man that created the first AM pickup on the radio, Sarkis Tarzian. And so I was involved. I wasn't a technical person, but I rubbed shoulders with so many of them that I worked in that area. And John was a person that you had to leave him alone. Now, and you left him, and everything went well, and he run things well. He wasn't too eager to accept change or new ideas or new ways of doing things. He had done it for that many years, and he and I had a few conflicts there, but it was all a question of difference of opinion and so on and so forth. It was not personal in any way, shape, or form. And, of course, his wife is one of the finest ladies I ever met.
And that reminds me of a quick story from my perspective. Dennis Gilliam, of course, who was John's protege and later recommended him for the job here at KAWC, went on to work at KJZZ in Phoenix and built their statewide network. And he's been helping us out, gosh, since I've been here in 2006 when we moved our tower and when we upgraded our AM. And most recently, he built our Parker station. But about a year or so ago, he got involved with Alice and Jim on a project to try to revive the station in KGHR in Tuba City up at the Navajo Reservation at the Gray Hills High School radio station. Been off the air for a while, and Dennis went up there to work on it. And as part of the reconstruction project, he actually borrowed one of our computers that we use to run our automation system. And he got it all hooked up, and he had to hear what it sounded like. And the only audio files that were on that hard drive were old copies of John Gabry's show. And he played John Gabry. I think there was a Christmas show. Yes. I remember when I drove up there, mm-hmm. It was the Christmas show that John Gabry did. I think this was like in June.
It was in August.
So John Gabry's Christmas show played over most of northern Arizona with a huge 100,000-watt transmitter out of Tuba City. And he played several of those shows over and over again, I think for a couple of days. And I think he said he even got some calls of people saying, who is that guy? And I really like that show. But, John Gabry, and he didn't even realize that he was a big hit on the Navajo Reservation.
He was huge there. It was the first sound that had come out of that station in over 6 months. And Dennis said that people would come up to him in the Tuvi Cafe there and say, who's that guy doing that Christmas show?
I do need to mention that we are KAWC Yuma, KAWP Parker. And we can thank Dennis Gilliam for that. And we are in a very special tribute program for John Gabry. Now, one man who knew John Gabry when he was at KVOY, and in fact, I do want to mention one of the hosts was one of our volunteers who was here earlier this week, Florence Azell. And she had shared with us that her sister used to listen to and call John when Florence was a teenager, and he worked at KVOY. He was a great man and a gift to Yuma. And thanks, Florence, for that, sharing that. But one of the people that ran into John Gabry at KVOY and then eventually ended up with him here at KWC was our former program director, Mark Reynolds. And he shared a little story about John when he was recording a Matador Memories for Arizona Western College's 50th anniversary. I want to share a little piece of that with you.
John showed me a lot of things about, especially music, and actually introduced me to different forms of music. I was real hungry. I liked music, and I like a lot of different kinds of music. Even today, I cannot listen to one artist on a CD. I have to have a CD of a whole bunch of different artists and maybe all different kinds of music when I'm listening. Or if I am listening to the satellite radio, I'm always punching around. Oh, I'm tired of that. Now let's go, you know. I like a lot of different stuff. And he was very influential in the area of how to put a program together. there was a lot of it that comes with just a feel. But he confirmed that feeling that I had, that, hey, this song has to follow this one. And he says, you got it. And this, and you know, it's just like a, we just found common ground real quick. And he always gave me a few pointers, you know, that one of which, well, some of it I can't repeat here. But one time I told him, I said, well, all I want to do is, I just want to be a good country music DJ. And he says, no, you don't. You want to be a good radio announcer. And whatever comes after that is fine. And he was very much a stickler when it came to my on-air presentation as to, you know, be hillbilly when you want to be hillbilly. But he says, you let them know that you can do it straight. You have the knowledge behind you. You have the experience behind you. And then cut loose when you want to cut loose, but have that foundation. And that was real good advice. Follow that throughout my career.
And thanks to Mark Reynolds for sharing that memory of John Gabry with us on this special tribute show to John Gabry. Another social media commentary from Mandy Quintero. Rest in peace, Grandpa Gabry. Thank you for so many awesome memories. And also Larry Macy says he came to Yuma from New Jersey for the last 5 years, and he's always enjoyed John's show, including this past Sunday. He was a gem and will be sadly missed. Let's hear some more from Gabry's private stock right now, and one of his favorite segments, if you will.
Well, I got a few people out there that just absolutely love strolls down memory lane. And every once in a while, I have a special place they want to stop on memory lane, and they send the request to me, and then we wind up with a song like this.
Sycamore, moonlight in Vermont, icy finger waves, ski trails on a mountainside, snow. Telegraph cables, they hum down the highway and travel each bend in the road. People who meet in this romantic setting are so hypnotized by the breeze warbling of a meadowlark, moonlight in Vermont. You and I and moonlight in Vermont.
Gee whiz, I'm sorry, Mark. It's just the way it worked there.
I bless the day I found you. I want to stay around you. And so I beg you, let it be me. Don't take this heaven from one. If you must cling to someone, now and forever, let it be me. Each time we meet, love, I find complete love. Without your sweet love, what would life be? So never leave me lonely. Tell me you love me. And that you'll always let it be me.
The smooth voice of Andy Williams and Let It Be Me. Speaking of smooth voices.
When the night has come and the land is dark, and the moon is the only light we'll see, no, I won't be afraid. Oh, I won't be afraid. Just as long as you stand by me. So darling, stand by me. If the sky that we look upon should tumble and fall, or the mountain should crumble to the sea, I won't cry, I won't cry. No, I won't shed a tear. Just as long as you stand by me. And darling, darling, stand by me. Oh, stand by me. Oh, stand now. Stand by me. Stand by me.
What you gonna do with a dog like that? The one and only Ben E. King, and Stand By Me.
You can dance every dance with the guy who gives you the eye to let him hold you tight. You can smile every smile for the man who held your hand beneath the pale moonlight. But don't forget who's taking you home and in whose arms you're gonna be. So darling, say the last dance for me. Oh, I know that the music's fine, like sparkling wine. Go and have your fun. Laugh and sing, but while we're apart, don't give your heart to anyone. But don't forget who's taking you home and in whose arms you're gonna be. So darling, say the last dance for me. Baby, don't you know I love you so? Can't you feel it when we touch? I will never, never let you go. I love you oh so much.
You can dance.
Go and carry on till the night is gone and it's time to go.
You can dance.
If he asks, if you're all alone, can he take you home? You must tell him no. 'Cause don't forget who's taking you home and in whose arms you're gonna be. So darling, say the last dance for me. Cause don't forget who's taking you home and in whose arms you're gonna be. So darling, say the last dance for me. Say the last dance for me. Say the last dance for me.
The Drifters saved the last dance for me. I tell you what, if I had Buck Owens' version of it, I'd play it, but I don't. Hey, friends, if you just joined us, this is KAWC-FM, Yuma, Arizona, and we're strolling down memory lane. No, I honestly never know exactly what we're going to find on memory lane. It just pops up, that's all.
I remember when I was a little girl, our house caught on fire. I'll never forget the look on my father's face as he gathered me up in his arms and raced to the burning building out of the pavement. And I stood there, shivering in my pajamas, and watched the whole world go up in flames. And when it was all over, I said to myself, "Is that all there is to a fire? Is that all there is? Is that all there is? If that's all there is, my friends, then let's keep dancing. Let's break out the booze and have a ball. If that's all there is." And when I was 12 years old, my daddy took me to the circus, the greatest show on earth. There were clowns and elephants and dancing bears, and a beautiful lady in pink tights flew high above our heads. And as I sat there watching, I had the feeling that something was missing. I don't know what, but when it was all over, I said to myself, "Is that all there is to the circus? Is that all there is? Is that all there is? all there is, my friends. Then let's keep dancing. Let's break out the booze and have a ball. If that's all there is. And then I fell in love with the most wonderful boy in the world. We'd take long walks down by the river, or just sit for hours gazing into each other's eyes. We were so very much in love. And then one day, he went away, and I thought I'd die, but I didn't. And when I didn't, I said to myself, is that all there is to love? Is that all there is? Is that all there is? If that's all there is, my friends, then let's keep... I know what you must be saying to yourselves. If that's the way she feels about it, why doesn't she just end it all? Oh no, not me. I'm not ready for that final disappointment. 'Cause I know, just as well as I'm standing here talking to you, that when that final moment comes and I'm breathing my last breath, I'll be saying to myself, is that all there is? Is that all there is? If that's all there is, my friends, then let's keep dancing. Let's break out the booze and have a ball. If that's all there is.
Peggy Lee and that Lieber Stoller song, which probably has received more really boring analysis than any song I could possibly name. I think I'd go along with Peggy or Lieber Stoller and say, yeah, just keep on dancing. It don't matter none. Music on the afternoon side.
And you're listening to a special edition of Gabry's Private Stock here on KAWC Colorado River Public Media. And today we're remembering John Gabry, who passed away recently, and presenting one of our favorite editions of his program. You know, John Gabry, when he worked here at KAWC, of course, being on the Arizona Western College campus, part of the job was interacting with students and even teaching some students about broadcasting, and he had a huge impact on a lot of his students. One of them is a student who eventually became a part-time worker here at KAWC, and he was Michael Arden. I got a chance to talk to Michael about John Gabry's impact on his life earlier this week. You know, taking the old shows and cleaning it up so that we can fill them in and stuff.
Yeah.
So you had a nice post on the Facebook page. What was that about?
Well, I had the privilege of not only knowing John during my professional years here at KAWC, but also when I was a student in the broadcasting program. In 2000, when I first stepped foot into the station, he was the chief engineer. And I think, if anything, he thought I was a little strange. Just my program didn't quite fit the quo of what they were used to hearing here at the station. But I did talk with him in passing and got a few chances to sit down with him as I became more of an advanced broadcasting student. And I learned that he held more knowledge and probably had even forgotten more knowledge than I'll ever know as a broadcaster in my lifetime. And then when I returned for my second stint here at the radio station, in 2008, he had started hosting a show on Sunday afternoons, and right towards the end of my shift, he'd always come in, and I'd stay just that little extra time to talk with him and Robert Milligan, and we'd talk about everything under the sun. And then when I moved to afternoons on the weekends, I got to spend a considerable amount of time talking with John, and he didn't just know things about broadcasting. He knew things about Arizona history, United States history. He was a food connoisseur. He was he was, in my opinion, the most interesting man alive. Forget the Dos Equis commercials. He really was the most interesting man in the world. And then when my family would come up occasionally and my wife would bring my daughter, he pretty much would stop talking with me and just focus on her, and in turn she'd focus that back. I even posted a picture of that on the Facebook page where my wife brought Cecilia into the studio for just a couple of moments, and John just focused on her, showed her around the studio in ways that he thought that a little six-month-old baby girl could understand. She was just transfixed. So that helped me understand, becoming a new parent, the amount of involvement. So overall, as an individual, I feel extremely privileged to have known him. And the program that he broadcasted every Sunday was just a bonus as to who he was. And in my opinion, who he was first, he was a fantastic individual who I had the privilege of knowing. Secondly, he, without a doubt, was Yuma Radio. He was broadcasting in Yuma.
We recently just got an email from a listener who wanted to pass on thanks to Yuma Radio for playing John Gabriel's radio show and the sorrow that she has felt that he has died. Here's the letter from Elizabeth in Singapore. I'm an American, but I moved to Singapore several years ago. I often listen to All Things Considered as I get ready for work in the morning, and I happen upon John Gabriel's private stock radio show by mistake. For quite a while, I've been tuning in on Monday mornings my time and have listened to his show. I've even woken up my 14-year-old daughter by playing it in her room. We both love old music from the 30s and 40s. I also just love listening to Gabriel's lovely reminiscing voice, and his sudden switches from one era to another, from one style to another, have made me laugh. I am so sorry to wake up, tune into the Yuma Public Radio Station, and here he has passed. I will be missing what he brought to the radio. And we thank you for those thoughts, Elizabeth, in Singapore. And to those of you who want to share some ideas or some thoughts, you can give us a call at 928-344-7693 or send us an email to info@kwc.org, or check it out on our Facebook or whatever those other social media things are. Let's get back to another quick segment as John does something that I think he does very well that has really been an influence on me, is his sharing of international music on the radio.
There's a song I love. One of the first times I ever heard Miguel Aceves Mejia sing in a movie down at the Orpheum Theater on Main Street in Yuma. I didn't speak a word. Well, I knew all the dirty words in Spanish, but I didn't, you know, couldn't keep up a conversation or anything. But I loved the Mexican music. And Miguel Aceves Mejia, he was that guy with the white blaze in his hair. And he could yodel, and he could just sing them to beat the band. And there was a Mexican song that he sang called El Jinete, and it was a huapango. And it was a story of a ghostly horseman that rode the far mountains searching for his beloved. And boy, I'll tell you, the minute I got that translated for me, I thought, oh, I could write a movie about that. Somebody had already beaten me to it. There was a movie about it, but it was one of those ballads, a huapango, but a ballad that told a story that just really appealed. And if you don't speak a word of Mexican, don't worry. You're going to like the song.
Va cabalgando un jinete, vaga solito en el mundo y va deseando la muerte. Lleva en su pecho una herida, va con su alma destrozada. Quisiera perder la vida y reunir con su amada, la quería.
ella más que a su vida y la perdió para siempre. Por eso lleva una herida, por eso busca la muerte. Oh, oh. Cantando, se pasa noches enteras, hombre y guitarra llorando a la luz de las estrellas. Después se pierde en la noche, y aunque la noche es muy bella, él va pidiéndole a Dios que se lo lleve con ella. La quería más que a su vida y la perdió para siempre. Por eso lleva una herida, por eso busca la muerte. Por eso lleva una herida, por eso busca la muerte.
And his guitar cries to the moon and the stars. El Jinete, Miguel Aceves Mejia. That was a song written by the great Jose Alfredo Jimenez, one of Mexico's great writers and singers, and sung by one of Mexico's great singers, Miguel Aceves Mejia. You never know on, well, for instance, this house. Now, this is where the Frenchman lives, Charles Trenet. And, oh, when he wrote that song,
Après que les poètes ont disparu, leurs chansons courent encore dans les rues. La foule les chante un peu distraite en ignorant le nom de l'auteur, sans savoir pour qui battait leur cœur. Parfois on change un mot, une phrase, et quand on est à court d'idées, on fait la 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 la. Longtemps, longtemps, longtemps après que les poètes ont disparu, leurs chansons courent encore dans les rues. Fils et garçons, bourgeois, artistes ou vagabonds.
that's Charles Trenet, and he's singing his own song that he wrote, L'Homme de Poète. Mama. Music on the afternoon side.
And you're listening to a special edition of Music on the Afternoon Side, Gabri's Private Stock, here on KAWC, Colorado River Public Media. I'm Dave Rieck, General Manager here, and we are paying tribute to John Gabri today, who he passed away last week, and we are playing one of his archive programs here today, and also remembering John Gabri for his great commitment to radio and to especially to music and to serving his audience here on KAWC. We've been getting a lot of responses to the program through social media and email. And Alice Ferris, you just got a new one?
Yes, we would like to read a reflection from Bill Moody, who is a longtime listener of KAWC, who posted on our Facebook page, "Such sweet sadness listening to the show today. Wonderful songs, great entertainment. John's shows were always an education in American culture through music of the 20th century. I find comfort in knowing that there is a treasure trove of his shows on tape that KAWC intends to replay. I still have that to look forward to." So thank you, Bill.
Thank you so much. Fred Clark called in. He's a World War II and Korean vet. He says it's heartbreaking to hear that John has passed. Met him a few times at thrift stores, and he was the same person, always honored vets, and Yuma is really going to miss John. There's a special place in heaven for John Gabri. Thank you, Fred Clark. And Jim?
Yeah, Dave, I had an opportunity to talk to Cesar Casillas. Cesar had worked with John for 18 years over at KVOY. Said that he started out as a 14-year-old kid with him, and John was his mentor. In fact, John had said to him, "So, boy, you want to run off and join the circus?" He said that when he would come in an hour before the show, John would say, "Well, where do we want to go with him? Where do we want to travel? Where are we going to take him on this magic carpet ride today?"
That's
he said
great.
He was like a second dad to him. And once for his birthday, actually, John had given him a final stage tube from the original transmitter and said, he polished it up, put it on a nice base. And he says, "You know, one day, or once, your voice came out of that tube."
That's great. Thanks so much for sharing your memories. If you'd like to call and leave a message, we can include. Call us at 928-344-7693.
I think I have to share one other thing that Cesar told me. It is, it was a little shocking. I'm still trying to get the image out of my head, because he said that John Gabri was once in Playboy. No, it's true. Okay, to elaborate, he said that John had actual articles based on engineering and design that were published in Playboy.
All right. They do have articles in that magazine.
Yeah, they do.
928-344-7693. 928-344-7693. And we are trying to have a little bit of fun today as we pay tribute to John Gabri and his amazing impact on this community. Another person who worked with John Gabri at KVLY and then ultimately ended up working with him here at KAWC is our own All Things Considered host here at KWC, Kim Johnson. I got a chance to chat with Kim a little bit the other day.
He actually was the very first person I met when I was going into the radio station where I was had come here from North Dakota to work at. And as John does, he makes a big impression upon you. And it was just such a sad situation to find out coming in on Monday that John had died last week. So he's a mile-wide personality, sorely missed, there's no doubt about it.
And I'm sure, like everyone else, he probably had an impact on your perception of broadcasting and helped you develop as a broadcaster.
Oh, absolutely. And he also, one of the things that just kind of, at that point at least, came with John was the fact that he was always working on something. And so I got a lot of working knowledge of holding a radio station together at the previous station with chewing gum and paper clips and lots of twine. So it was something special knowing John, and to everyone involved in his family, I just want to pass along my condolences and just let you know that there are so many people who really feel that something, the fact that John is no longer with us, he's made a dramatic impact on so many people's lives. And the people who listen on Sunday afternoons, I think there's a real void in a lot of people's hearts today.
Well, we're going to try to continue that tradition with his archive programs, at least for the short term.
Oh, that's good.
And I think that'll help a little bit. But What I think is kind of fascinating is that he definitely understood the power of an individual person's voice coming across a radio.
And oh, that's for sure.
That's really a perfect example of that.
Oh, and he was, and I know I kind of have a gap from when I first met him and then coming back out to KAWC and seeing him a lot again, especially on the weekends. He had the ability to teach, and I know that he really did that. You know, it's part of the thing you do when you're at KAWC. But I can't. I'm wondering about some of maybe the 18 and 19 year old students who ran across John for the first time and the first class he might have had with them, and they might have been wondering some things because he's just so special, and just you know, it was just something to be able to know John.
And what's what always impressed me is about is that he always seemed to have time for anybody he came across, that he had time to talk with somebody and was always genuinely interested in just about everybody I ever saw him interact with.
Yeah, when we first moved here, we were fairly, you know, alone in the fact that you come to a new place and you're getting acclimated to it and such. And he took it upon himself to really, I had my wife, Joan, come with me a lot. And they had some of the best conversations Joan said she had ever had in her life. She, you just, when John decided that, you know, he wanted to talk with you, you talked. And you talked about the widest range of things. Talk about things being eclectic. I think that John was eclectic with a capital E.
Well, that's great. Well, thanks for sharing some time with us. And at least, you know, for us, who got a chance to actually work side by side with him, we have special memories. But
that's for sure.
He's definitely going to be missed.
Absolutely. And thank you for the opportunity.
You bet. We had a Facebook post from Anna Easterbrooks who said, when people ask me how I have such eclectic taste in music, I always answer the same way. I have only my uncle to thank for it. He taught me to truly appreciate good music, no matter the source. And you're listening to a special tribute to John Gabry on this special edition of Gabry's Private Stock. We got a chance to get a Facebook post the other day when we first announced that John Gabry had passed away from a former host here at KAWC. She used to be known as Angelina Bonta. She's now Angelina Bonta Tidd, and she posted that John was one of the most amazing people I've ever met. I actually got a chance to talk to Angelina by phone from where she's living now in Missouri, and we got a chance to chat a little bit about her memories of John Gabry.
Well, he was probably one of my most favorite people that I've ever met, and he was so smart. We used to watch Jeopardy. It would come on, I think, at 4 o'clock, and he would go in there and watch it, and he'd know basically every answer. Or if he didn't know it, it was because he forgot it. So it was always amazing. I would always think, how do you know that? But it was always his mantra, too, and kind of what he tried to pass along is that in broadcasting, you need to know a little bit about everything. Actually, in life, you need to know a little bit about everything because everything relates. It's not separate. One thing is not separate from another. So a lot of knowledge there and entertaining. He was a good storyteller. I never got that part, but he was one of those people that could just tell a story about anything, and it was always entertaining, always unusual.
And did you learn a lot about broadcasting from him in particular, or radio technique?
I did, yeah. And when the tower fell down, that was interesting too, because he was always very, very excited to share what he knew. And if he saw somebody that was interested, he would definitely encourage that. So all of the technical things that were happening with the rebuild of the tower, when it fell down, all of that whole period, I was interested in that side of it because I was always on the other side, and so it was a good opportunity to see kind of the guts of broadcasting. And so I'd tag along with him out to the doghouse and get an overview of what things were and how they worked. And so it was very interesting. But he was always willing to share his previous experiences in broadcasting too, since he had such a long time. Being able to see from where it started to where it was when he was at that point of his career and where I was. And he would tell stories about the old days and how it used to be and how things were done and how things have changed. And I always found that very interesting. the progress and the just the evolution of radio.
Well, he was always very generous with his time. He never hesitated to stop and talk and take as much time as you needed to get some understanding.
Yes, and he was a prolific coffee drinker. I never, ever saw him drink anything other than coffee. And that bug was pretty much, I think, connected to his hand.
And that was Angelina Bonta Tidd. We got a hold of her by phone. She's the former All Things Considered host here at KAWC and originally came across John Gabry as a student here at Arizona Western College. And we're real glad that she reached out to us on Facebook to share her memories, and we got a chance to talk to her. We had a listener call in just a few moments ago, got a little choked up. We weren't able to get his name, but he said that John was such an influence. He was powerful. That he was, met John back in the 1960s, and there was somebody who could really bring history to life through music and through his radio programs. Sean Mazza posted that his heart is heavy after hearing of John's passing. He was a friend, mentor, and kindred spirit to all who had the pleasure and privilege to have known and worked with him. Rest in peace, John, and my deepest condolences to John's family and friends. Andrea posted that, like many, she only knew John through Gabriel's private stock, and the first time he heard him, she was hooked. Interesting, knowledgeable, entertaining. She looked forward to Sunday afternoons. There is only one John Gabry. And another friend of KWC, Ann Walker, posted that she only knew John Gabry through his show on KWC, but that was a heap. As she says, unique, irreplaceable. She will miss hearing his voice and the amazing mix of music he put together each week. Bravo and adios. We're glad to be sharing this special tribute to John Gabry with you here on a Sunday afternoon. You can give us a call and share your words with us at 928-344-7693 or reach out to Facebook or Twitter or whatever on the social media or send us an email at info@kawc.org. Let's get back to another segment of John's program, and he's going to be playing one of his favorite artists here as we continue the program.
Music on the afternoon side, and well, I up to him and I said, yeah, what? He said, that song you said that was kind of naughty back in the 50s, you mentioned it, but you never played it. I said, well, I've never had a copy of it. I don't think anybody's ever recorded the naughty or indecent version of it. He said, no. He said, you didn't play the one that they'd cleaned up to make it acceptable. And I said, by George, you're right. What was the name of the song? He told me.
As I cruised out one evening upon a knight's career, I spied a lofty clipper ship, and to her I did steer. I hoisted out my signals, which she so quickly knew, and when she saw my bunting fly, she immediately hove to.
She had a dark and a rope, and her hair hung down in ringlets. She was a nice girl, a proper girl, but one of the roving kind.
I took her for some fish and chips and treated her so fine, and hardly did I realize she was the roving kind. I kissed her lips, I missed her lips, and found to my surprise she was nothing but a pirate ship rigged up in a disguise.
She had a dark and a roving eye,
and her hair hung down in ringlets.
She was a nice girl, a proper girl, but one of the roving kind.
So come all ye good sailor men who sail the wintry sea, and come all ye apprentice lads a warning take from me. Beware of lofty clipper ships, they'll be the ruin of you, for 'twas there she made me walk the plank and pushed me under too.
She had a dark and a rolling eye, and her hair hung down in ringlets.
She was a nice girl, a proper girl, but one of the roving kind.
She was a nice girl, a proper girl, but
one of the roving kind.
Oh, Guy Mitchell from the 1950s and the roving kind. I have nothing else to say about that song. Here's, oh, yeah. Yeah, I happen to be a fan of this guy. Always have been from the moment I first heard him. And I think it was Frim Fram Sauce was the first. No, it was Straight Up and Fly Right. That's right. That's not what he's going to sing now.
I love you for sentimental reasons. I hope you do believe me. I'll give you my heart. I love you, and you alone were meant for me. Please give your loving heart to me, and say we'll never part. I think of you every morning, dream of you every night. Darling, I'm never lonely. Whenever you are in sight, I love you for sentimental reasons. I hope you do believe me. I've given you my heart.
Nat King Cole, that man who is simply unforgettable. Music on the afternoon side. I've got some songs here I got to play for some of my special listeners. These are the ones who actually write me letters and tell me things. Yeah. Yeah. First of all, Jenny, she's very important in my life. And then after this song for Jenny, I'll have a song for listener number 10. And he knows the words. Well, I better play it for listener number 11, too, because she probably also knows the words. But first of all, Here's for Jenny.
A portrait of Jenny, more precious to me than a masterpiece, however famous it be. The portrait of Jenny is etched on my heart, where her features have been sketched from the start. The color and beauty of life and the glow of her spirit of mine all cast in heaven's own design with the portrait of Jenny. I never will part, for there isn't any portrait of Jenny except in my heart. For there isn't any portrait of Jenny except in my heart.
Nat King Cole, Portrait of Jenny. I think the world was a better place when Nat was singing. He added something very, very delightful to my life, and I hope to yours, too. Music on the afternoon side.
And the world definitely a better place when John Gabry was producing his radio show. And we definitely get that sense from the reaction today to our special tribute show to John Gabry. Gilbert and Sue Hernandez posted on our Facebook page, "I will miss him, but now he watches over us." We'd also like to thank Chuck Smalley, a professor of music emeritus here at Arizona Western College, who sent us this wonderful thought. And I just want to share this with you. It's called In Memory of John Gabry. Oh, please say it ain't so. Tell me John is just combing the thrift shops looking for old LPs for his show. Tell me he's going through the CDs at Hastings looking for CD reissues of old songs, the old bands, and almost forgotten singers. Maybe he's trying to find another recording of Rachmaninoff's piano music or an old Spike Jones recording. Tell me John is out for a while practicing his Irish accent for his next St. Patrick's Day program, or he's still trying to figure out the controls for the turntable and the CD player at the radio station. Tell me that John is writing his memoirs of his early days in Yuma when it really was a small town. Surely he's reading about the old drugstore where you could get a Coke for a nickel and a real malted milk when everyone knew their neighbor and their neighbor's kids by name, spent time with them, laughed with them, visited and drank coffee. He must be reading up on events of World War II and remember rationing of sugar, coffee, gasoline, and nylons. He's got to be with old friends reminiscing about the good times when they were kids. No, wait, I'll bet John is hiding somewhere on the north end of town, playing like Tom Sawyer and getting ready to attend his own funeral. Wouldn't that be a great laugh for him and a sigh of relief for us? Does his show really count? Does nostalgia and sentimentality really count? Or is it just living in the past? No, we need to reminisce. Look at the happy times and the hard times. Without that, we have no idea where to go, nor we have the ability to handle the new situations that we face daily. No, John is always looking ahead, thinking about the next Sunday show, the music he may play, and going through his home recording library for music. So what am I going to listen to Sunday afternoons in my workshop? It simply will not be the same. John, you've been a fixture so long at Arizona Western College and at KWC that I now feel a great gap. John, I have not told you lately how much I enjoy you and your show. Always happy, upbeat, full of vitality, and not afraid of wearing your heart on your sleeve. Telling us that you were in love with every female singer you heard. You always made me smile and sometimes laugh out loud. We'll miss you, John Gabry. Please, someone, anyone, say it ain't so. Thank you, Chuck Smalley, for that beautiful sentiment. Couldn't have said it better. We want to thank Doc, who called in with a comment. He said he came to Yuma in 1945 when John was in high school. He always thought that John's show should have been syndicated nationally, and he is definitely appreciative of today's special tribute to show to John. And we had another anonymous supporter from the website who said that we should keep John's kind of music alive. Well, I had a meeting with Myra Vasquez the other day, and we are definitely going to do our best to continue to keep John's voice alive here on KAWC. We have several shows left in the archive, and Myra and I will be working, combing through them and editing them up a little bit so that we can present them to you on Sunday afternoons from 2 to 4, and we'll continue that practice at least for the foreseeable future. John Gabry, his voice, his talent, his insight, his spirit will continue on the airwaves here on KAWC for as long as we can keep it going. And we're glad to do that and share that with you, all of his fans here in Yuma and around the world and across the country. So we want to thank those of you who've called in and participated in today's special tribute show. And be sure to tune in next week from 2 to 4. We'll have another edition of Gabry's Private Stock for you and continue to share this special spirit. I mean, that's the real strength of what John Gabry gave to us, was an appreciation of life, a celebration of culture, a definite celebration of America and what it is to be American. And we are very glad to share that with you. I'm Dave Reek, and thanks again for sticking around with us for the last couple of hours for this special tribute show to John Gabry. We are KAWC Yuma, KAWP Parker, Colorado River, NPR, and BBC News, celebrating the 50th anniversary of Arizona Western College, providing learning opportunities and public service in Yuma and La Paz County. And today, celebrating the long life and wonderful legacy of John Gabry and Gabry's Private Stock. Stick around. Coming up in just a few moments, we'll be bringing you today's edition of Car Talk. So please stay tuned.